This is VOA News via remote. I'm Marissa Melton. North Korea launched a suspected intercontinental ballistic missile, South Korea's military reported on Friday. It comes a day after Pyongyang warned of more aggressive steps in response to increased military activity by the United States and its allies. South Korea's Joint Chiefs of Staff reported the launch at about 10:20 a.m. local time, noting that the missile was headed toward the sea off North Korea's east coast. No other details were immediately available, including how far the missile flew or where exactly it landed. It's the second consecutive day that North Korea has launched a ballistic missile. On Thursday, North Korea launched a short-range ballistic missile that landed in the sea off its east coast. Just hours earlier, North Korean Foreign Minister Cho Sung-hui vowed a fiercer response to recent steps by the United States, Japan, and South Korea to bolster extended deterrence against the North. In recent weeks, North Korea has unleashed an unprecedented barrage of missiles, including some that have prompted air raid sirens and shelter warnings in Japan and South Korea. North Korea says it's a response to the increased military exercises by the United States and its allies, but Washington says its increased drills are necessary as a response to the North Korean tests. The United Nations Nuclear Watchdog's 35-nation Board of Governors passed a resolution ordering Iran to cooperate urgently with the agency's investigation into uranium traces found at three undeclared sites, this according to diplomats at Thursday's closed-door vote. The resolution was drafted by the United States, Britain, France, and Germany. This is VOA News. A U.S. House of Representatives committee will release its report probing the January 6, 2021 assault on the Capitol by former President Donald Trump's supporters next month. This according to the panel's Democratic chair, Benny Thompson. The select committee's work will likely end in January when a new Republican-controlled Congress is sworn in. Thompson has also appointed a subcommittee to investigate issues, including unanswered subpoenas for Trump and others, and whether to send transcripts of interviews to the Department of Justice. A Dutch court said Thursday that Malaysia Airlines flight MH17 was shot down in 2014 by a Russian-made missile fired from a field in eastern Ukraine. The ruling came as the court convicted two Russians and a pro-Moscow separatist in absentia and sentenced them to life imprisonment. One Russian was acquitted because of a lack of evidence. The verdict comes more than 8 years after the Boeing 777 flying from Amsterdam to Kuala Lumpur was blown out of the sky over Ukraine, killing all 298 passengers and crew members. The mid-air explosion and crash happened amid a conflict between pro-Russia rebels and Ukrainian forces. Ukrainian officials reported fresh missile strikes Thursday in multiple parts of the country. Targets included gas facilities. Ukraine's foreign minister has stressed the need for speeding up deliveries of air defense systems. He cited the success of the National Advanced Surface-to-Air Missile System that Ukrainian forces began using earlier this month. Kuleva also said he's convinced that the time has come for Ukraine to get the more advanced U.S. Patriot air defense systems. And Ukrainian and Turkish officials said Thursday an agreement allowing for the export of Ukrainian grain through the Black Sea will continue for another 4 months under its current terms. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres welcomed the extension, saying in a statement that the UN is committed to ensuring that the grain supply line continues to function smoothly. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken also praised the extension. Myanmar's military-controlled government announced Thursday it was releasing nearly 6,000 prisoners under a broad amnesty. A spokesperson for the Myanmar junta confirmed to VOA Burmese service the release of artists, activists, one minister, a top election commission official, and one minister chief from the ousted Aung San Suu Kyi government, as well as four foreigners. Nancy Pelosi, the only woman to ever be Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives, announced Thursday that she would remain in Congress as Republicans take control of the chamber in January, but she will not seek a Democratic leadership position. This ends her two-decade run as the party's leader. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton, VOA News.
Today is Friday, November 18th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I am Chinua Adofo in Washington. Coming up in the next half hour, Russia launches another missile barrage on Ukraine's energy facilities as winter sets in.
Air raid sirens sound as the first snows fall on Kyiv. Ukrainians endured blackouts and freezing temperatures as Russia unleashed yet more missiles against energy facilities.
There's hopes for a reduction in global food prices as Russia and Ukraine renew UN-brokered grain deal.
UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres welcomed the renewal.
I was deeply moved to know that in Istanbul, Russia and the UN had come to an agreement for the rollover of Black Sea Grain Initiative.
And at least 21 people are killed during a fire outbreak in the Gaza Strip. We'll have these stories and more next on International Edition. Stay tuned. Missiles rained down on Ukrainian energy facilities on Thursday as Russian forces stepped up attacks in eastern Ukraine, reinforced by troops pulled from Kherson City in the south, which Kyiv recaptured last week. Lucy Field of Reuters reports.
Air raid sirens sound as the first snows fall on Kyiv. Ukrainians endured blackouts and freezing temperatures as Russia unleashed yet more missiles against energy facilities on Thursday. Authorities said they were working hard to restore power nationwide after what Ukraine said was the heaviest bombardment yet of civilian infrastructure this week. Kyiv resident Diana Zhitko says it will be a tough winter, and she's especially worried about the Ukrainian soldiers. President Volodymyr Zelensky posted video, apparently shot from a car cam, showing a driver's journey through Dnipro interrupted by a huge blast. Reuters was able to verify the location but not the date it was shot, but local officials said at least 15 people were wounded in strikes on Dnipro. A large defense plant was also hit. Russian forces have stepped up attacks in eastern Ukraine, reinforced by troops pulled from Kherson in the south after Kyiv recaptured it last week. Explosions resounded in Odessa, the capital Kyiv, and Zaporizhia in the southeast. Meanwhile, fears of cross-border spillover have eased, since NATO and Poland concluded that a missile that crashed in Poland on Tuesday, killing two people, was probably a stray fired by Ukraine's air defences and not Russian. Zelensky contested this view in a rare public disagreement with his Western allies, and Ukraine has asked to view the site for itself, which a top Polish official said would probably be granted. Ukraine has vowed to keep up the pressure on Russian forces until it reclaims all occupied territory. Its capture of Kherson has stoked optimism. But the top US general warned Ukraine's chances of near-term outright victory weren't high, and said Russia still had significant combat power inside Ukraine. The Kremlin called on Washington to push Kyiv towards diplomacy, accusing Ukraine of shifting the goalposts regarding possible peace talks.
That's Lucy Fielder of Reuters. The Pentagon hosted the 7th Ukraine Defense Contact Group for Ukraine allies to virtually collaborate on their support of Ukraine military, while the top general reaffirmed that winter could be ideal for political negotiations. He also warned that China would be playing, quote, a very dangerous game, unquote, should it try to take Taiwan by force. VOA Pentagon correspondent Kalabab has the details.
The Pentagon says the U.S. and its allies will continue to support Ukraine in its fight against Russian aggression for as long as it takes. Despite a blunt assessment from the top U.S. general that military victory for either side is likely unachievable in the near term. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley.
The probability of Russia achieving its strategic objectives of conquering Ukraine, of overrunning Ukraine, the probability of that happening is close to zero. But they do currently occupy about 20% of that of Ukraine. So in terms of probability, the probability of a Ukrainian military victory defined as kicking the Russians out of all of Ukraine, to include what they define or what they claim as Crimea, to the probability of that happening anytime soon is not high, militarily.
But he said a near-term political solution for peace was possible.
You want to negotiate from a position of strength. Russia right now is on its back. The Russian military is suffering tremendously.
The Russian military has taken heavy losses of soldiers and military equipment since Moscow's invasion of Ukraine in February. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin.
The numbers of precision-guided munitions that they've rifled through in this endeavor is striking. And so it may take years for them to restock that inventory up to the point that they were before they started this conflict.
Do you think the Russians can hold out the years that you say it would take for them to fully resupply?
I don't think the Ukrainians are going to allow them to hold out. I think the Ukrainians are going to continue to pressure them. And so this battlefield dynamic will change, you know, continue to change.
The Pentagon also reaffirmed previous U.S., NATO, and Polish statements that pointed to a Ukrainian air defense missile as the likely culprit in the inadvertent death of two people in Poland near the Ukrainian border Tuesday, a claim Ukraine's president contradicts.
This was most likely a result of a Ukrainian air defense missile, but we'll let the investigation play out here.
The top U.S. general also warned China on Wednesday against invading Taiwan, calling any military invasion across the strait a, quote, very dangerous game. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley.
But I think that the Chinese would be high risk to take on an operation like that. And I think it would be unwise. It would be a political mistake, a geopolitical mistake, a strategic mistake, similar to what the strategic mistake is that Putin has made in Ukraine.
Milley vowed the United States military would remain the top military in the world. And as long as it remained number one, it would deter any great power war between China and the United States. Carla Babb, VOA News, The Pentagon.
A United Nations brokered grain deal between Russia and Ukraine has been renewed during talks in Istanbul. The renewal of the agreement allows Ukrainian grain to enter world markets and is key to averting a further surge in world food prices. Dorian Jones reports from Istanbul.
The grain deal was renewed in Istanbul for a further 120 days among the UN, Russia, Ukraine and Turkey. The deal removes a Russian blockade on Ukrainian ports, allowing safe passage of grain ships to world markets. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres welcomed the renewal.
I was deeply moved to know that in Istanbul, Turkey, Ukraine, Russia and the UN had come to an agreement for the rollover of the Black Sea Grain Initiative, allowing for the free exports of Ukrainian grain.
Ukraine is one of the world's biggest grain suppliers, especially to African and Middle East nations. Since the deal first went into effect in July, 11 million tons of grain have been exported. Russia had threatened to withdraw from the agreement, but Zal Gazimov, a Russia expert at Bonn University, said Moscow sees the grain deal as one of the last points of leverage that it has over the West in its efforts to ease crippling Western sanctions.
For Russia, the grain deal is a platform to negotiate with the Western countries, and it is reluctant to withdraw from that completely. The main effort of Russia now to get some more soft of sanctions on some of the banks like Rosselhozbank. Actually, U.S. carved out food and fertilizer shipments in previous deal.
It's not clear whether Moscow received any concessions for renewing the grain deal, but UN Secretary General Guterres said he is committed to easing obstacles to Russian agricultural exports.
I want to express my deep commitment and the commitment of the UN to do everything possible for the smooth implementation of this agreement in Istanbul by the Joint Coordination Center, and also to remove the remaining obstacles to the unimpeded exports of Russian food and fertilizers essential to avoid a food crisis next year, too.
The renewal of the grain deal is a diplomatic victory for Turkey. Moscow, Kyiv, and Guterres have thanked Turkish diplomatic efforts for its success. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan was at the forefront of brokering the grain agreement and its continuation. Political analyst İlhan Özgel of the Kısa Dalga news portal says Erdogan will see the renewal of the deal as a vindication of his stance of maintaining close ties with both his Ukrainian and Russian counterparts, a position that has drawn criticism and sparked suspicion in the West.
Turkey has a kind of a balanced position. It's not party to the conflict, although Turkey is a member of NATO, so Turkey declares it as a war, but does not comply with the sanctions. Erdogan is trying to take advantage of the crisis to raise his international profile as a troubleshooter or as a mediator in this region.
Ankara's Western allies have voiced criticism and concern that Turkey was becoming a backdoor to Russia in Moscow's efforts to avoid sanctions. Observers say Erdogan is hoping his diplomatic victory will serve to silence criticism of his ties to Russia. Dorian Jones, VOA News, Istanbul.
An end of an era is coming on Capitol Hill. The only woman to ever serve as Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives has announced she will step aside from leading the Democrats after 19 years. As VOA's Chief National Correspondent Steve Herman in Washington reports, her decision coincides with the opposition Republican Party gaining control of the chamber in this month's midterm elections.
When leader Nancy Pelosi stepped onto the floor Thursday to address colleagues, she was wearing a brooch representing the mace or battle staff of the House of Representatives, a symbol she has displayed on important occasions. Recalling that she never imagined going from homemaker to House Speaker, Pelosi quoted biblical scripture that, "For everything there is a season," she added, "a new day is dawning on the horizon."
I will not seek re-election to Democratic leadership in the next Congress. For me, the hour has come for a new generation to lead the Democratic caucus that I so deeply respect.
Pelosi, who is 82, said she will remain in Congress to continue representing her constituency in San Francisco, something she has done for 35 years. Steve Herman, VOA News, Washington.
Los Angeles has elected its first black woman as mayor. Democratic U.S. Representative Karen Bass defeated billionaire developer Rick Caruso in a contest amid multiple scandals at City Hall and an out-of-control homelessness crisis and rising crime. The disclosure last month of a tape recording peppered with racist remarks led to the resignation of the two former city council president and calls by President Joe Biden for two other members to resign. Former President Donald Trump's suspension from Facebook and Instagram will stand for now, despite his candidacy for president. Meta, which owns both platforms, said it had no plans to lift the ban on Trump, which was imposed after the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol. Trump may not have to wait too long to return, however, as the suspension will be reconsidered in January. In other news, at least 21 people were killed and several others injured when a fire broke out in a building where residents attended a party in the Gaza Strip, health and civil emergency officials said on Thursday. Footage circulated on social media and witnesses said the whole residential building caught fire in the Jabalia refugee camp in northern Gaza Strip, sending flames and smoke from the site. Witnesses said they could hear screaming, but they could not reach the victims to offer help because of the intensity of the fire. You're listening to VOA's International Edition. I am Chinedu in Washington. The East African Communities Armed Force, led by Kenya, has vowed to protect the city of Goma in the eastern DRC as M23 rebels advance towards the city. Kenya sent hundreds of troops to Goma this week to quell the violence after rebels clashed with the Congolese army. Mohamed Yusuf reports from VOA's Africa News Center in Nairobi, Kenya.
The East African Regional Force stationed in Goma says it will fight any attempt by rebel group M23 to take control of the city, which is home to 1 million people. The Kenyan commander of the force, Joe Nyaga, said the city will be safe.
We are here to protect, defend the Goma International Airport, including the force headquarters, as the rest of the processes continue.
The commander said the regional force was an intervention force, not a peacekeeping one. M23 fighters are reported to have advanced to within 20 kilometers to Goma, the capital of North Kivu province, after the Congolese army abandoned their defensive positions. East African countries agreed in April to send troops to the DRC to help stabilize the country's eastern region, which has seen decades of conflict sparked by the presence of foreign rebel groups and fighting among local groups over control of the area's mines, which produce gold, diamonds, tin and other valuable resources. Blaise Kerege, an independent political and security researcher in eastern Congo, says M23 is mainly concerned about fighting foreign rebels who are terrorizing the local population. They won't come to Goma, he says, They are fighting in the parks and with the Rwandan rebel group FDLR and other militias used by the FDLR. He says they are there to protect their people and properties against those rebels. For now, they are not interested in coming to Goma. There's an ethnic component to the fighting in North Kivu. M23 is made up of Tutsis and has accused the Congo government of failing to protect their families against other rebel groups in the region led by Hutus. Great Lakes region security expert Dismas Nkunda says using force to manage the DRC conflict will create more instability. He says, "I am hoping it does not boil down into a fierce confrontation between M23 and the East African peacekeeping force." Mohamed Yusuf for VOA News, Nairobi.
Thank you, Mohamed. With Twitter's human rights team eliminated, legal experts voice alarm about what it could mean for users around the world. Tina Trent reports.
In the wake of massive layoffs at Twitter, some online experts are criticizing the decision to eliminate the company's human rights team, saying it threatens the safety of Twitter users around the world. People often take to Twitter to bring attention to local protests or human rights situations. Twitter's human rights team worked to establish user policies that defended freedom of expression while safeguarding privacy and safety. Without it, and cuts to Twitter's content moderation staff, some users could be in danger, experts say. Michael Kleiman is the director of Amnesty International's Silicon Valley Initiative. He spoke to VOA over Skype.
It's not as though the existence of a human rights team magically made Twitter a place where there was no abuse, but we were seeing slow progress over the last few years, and it's terrifying to think that all that might be washed away.
Since Elon Musk took over Twitter, the company has been in upheaval, losing advertisers and leading some users to threaten to leave. Musk says he's working to make Twitter financially sustainable. Despite the job cuts, the company says it hasn't changed its content moderation policies. Twitter didn't respond to a request for comment for this story. Some observers worry that repressive regimes, such as China and Iran, could expand their influence operations by manipulating Twitter's account verification system. But Musk says fake accounts will be targeted.
We will be vigorously pursuing any impersonation. If someone is engaged in deception, then we will suspend that account, at least temporarily.
During the war in Ukraine, Twitter's human rights team prevented governments and state-affiliated media from posting content of prisoners of war, according to experts. And it fought government attempts to censor content, such as in India. Deborah Brown is a senior researcher and digital rights advocate at Human Rights Watch.
Without having that team there and without having the different regional teams who can contextualize different types of, let's say, hate speech on the platform or incitement to violence, then we're kind of left with an empty office on the other side and very few resources to react to some really troubling developments on the platform.
Musk says he'll form an advisory council to address content moderation decisions. For now, the churn at Twitter may be unsettling users in some parts of the world. David Kaye is a law professor at the University of California, Irvine, and a former special rapporteur for the United Nations Human Rights Council.
If you're a user in a repressive environment, say like Saudi Arabia or right now in India or in other places, you're sort of hoping that the company will protect you, that the company will protect your user data, so your direct messages, that the company will protect your ability to engage in speech, will protect you against threats or incitement to violence.
As the company struggles to gain financial footing, the recent changes have some weighing the risks of tweeting. Tina Trin, VOA News, New York.
This is Science in a Minute.
Scientists have long wondered about when early humans started to use fire to cook food. A new discovery may provide an answer. Researchers from three Israeli universities, in collaboration with other institutions, have found proof of prehistoric humans using fire to cook food that predates previous evidence by more than 600,000 years. According to a press release from Tel Aviv University, the scientists performed a rigorous examination of the remnants of what was described as a carp-like fish. The remains were found at an archaeological site in Israel, and the researchers' analysis indicates that the fish was cooked about 780,000 years ago. They point out that until their discovery, the earliest proof of food being cooked for consumption dates back some 170,000 years ago. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hi, I'm Kim Lewis. Join me and our panel of journalists as we discuss the top stories of the week, including leaders of the world's largest economies are gathered in Indonesia. Tensions over Russia's war on Ukraine raises questions about whether they would be able to unite on what is one of the most pressing issues globally, and with Russia being a member of the G20 group. We'll discuss this and more on Issues in the News this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
This has been International Edition on The Voice of America. On behalf of the entire production team, thank you so much for listening. Visit our website for in-depth coverage of world events and news 24 hours at voanews.com and check out voaafrica.com for more English language programming. You can find International Edition and our current affairs programs, Encounter, Press Conference USA and Issues in the News on voanews.com. Until next time, I am Chinua Adofo in Washington. Have a wonderful weekend.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States strongly condemns the resumption of fighting by the March 23rd Movement Armed Group, or M23, in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. State Department spokesperson Ned Price said in a written statement, "The resumption of hostilities since October 20th has caused significant human suffering, including deaths and injuries among civilians, and significant numbers of newly displaced persons. The United States calls for an immediate cessation of hostilities in respect for human rights and international humanitarian law." M23 is a militant group operating in eastern DRC, made up of rebels who defected from the DRC's armed forces. There are credible reports it is supported by the government of Rwanda. The M23 and some of its leaders, including Sultani Makenga, have been sanctioned by the United States and the United Nations for horrific attacks on civilians. M23 fighters recently seized multiple towns and two major roads in the DRC's North Kivu province. At least 20 civilians were killed, at least 50 were injured, and 6 peacekeepers from the United Nations Organization Stabilization Mission in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, or MONUSCO, were injured. The offensive has displaced an estimated 475,000 people since October 20th, with another 200,000 unable to leave occupied areas. The United States calls for M23 to withdraw from its positions, disarm, and rejoin the Inter-Congolese Dialogue, Nairobi process, in preparation for disarmament, demobilization, and community reintegration offered by the government of the DRC, said State Department spokesperson Price. At a Security Council briefing, Ambassador Robert Wood, U.S. Alternative Representative of Special Affairs, called on Rwanda to cease its support for the M23 and noted that MONUSCO remains critical to bringing peace to eastern DRC and the broader region. It serves an important purpose, protecting civilians, disrupting illicit networks, and helping stabilize governance and security institutions, he said. Ambassador Wood emphasized achieving peace is contingent upon a political process, political will, and political solutions. To that end, he said, the United States announced in September an additional $30 million in funding to support a transparent electoral process in the DRC, strengthening democratic institutions, bringing justice to victims, holding bad actors to account, respecting states' territorial sovereignty and integrity, and prioritizing civilians will help bring peace to the Great Lakes. The people of the region deserve nothing less.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.